To solidify and anchor in on the position that you have. That's doubling down. We need to double down today. It's too many of us. We're just floating with the wind. We need to double down. What? Strengthen one's commitment to a particular strategy or course of action. Course of action. Typically one that is potentially risky. That's serving Christ. In our minds and in people's minds, serving God is risky. Why? Because most people don't want to hear it. That's the worldly perspective. But spiritually, we know there is no risk in serving Jesus. But we need, that is our strategy, to serve God. So we're going to double down on what? Serving God. That's double down, y'all. Last week, we talked about what? Doubling down on Jesus. You know what it says, what, in Philippians 2, and we said 12 and 13. We talked about those verses. 12 says what? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. 13. For it is good which God, God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. We understood that. We understood that what? Paul told them at the church of Philippi, what? You need to make sure you're working out your salvation. Doing the things that you need to be doing, showing the love that you need to show, showing the joy that you need to show. In the midst of opposition, that's okay, but what? You're not going to run and be scared. We understand that, right? We talked about that. We even talked about how it acts and how it acts what? That after Paul had been converted on the Damascus Road, then it went to Peter, what? That there was a devout man, and we studied about a just man earlier, a devout man named Cornelius, right? Who was not of the Jewish faith. But he was practicing faith. He didn't know Christ yet, but he was practicing faith as he knew it. And how Peter had gone up to pray. And while Peter was praying, God spoke to Peter. And God showed him a vision about all these corrupt and vicious things. And Peter was, oh, wait a minute, God. You know I've touched none of these things. None of these things. But God was setting Peter up. He was having Peter double down on Jesus and what he told him and not on what he thought. So then what happened? Cornelius sent for Peter. And then these people showed up and Peter had to go to Cornelius' house, who he really didn't want to deal with, y'all. He really did not want to deal with the Gentiles, y'all. Peter had that issue in his life, but he was obedient. He doubled down and guess what? Cornelius' whole household was saved. Why? Because he was a just man. We understood that. We understood that when we double down, we got to heed the first thing that God says to us, right? He said what? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In his righteousness. Uh-oh. Somebody just got stepped on. Oh, that was my foot. I'm sorry. I didn't say ouch, but I should have. I got to make sure I seek God first. Every day, all decisions, every decision. Anytime I seek what I want before I seek God, there's a problem. Anytime anybody comes up with a solution and you haven't sought God, there's a problem. That's not doubling down on Jesus. That's, well, I've learned enough in my history that I think I can handle this one. No, baby, no, my brother, you can't handle it. You got to ask God because God is so awesome. He'll do things differently for each situation because he knows the end of it before you even get that far. So you don't want to get down the road and go, oh, this ain't going to work. I didn't anticipate that. Don't even worry about that. Lord, what do I do? Yes or no? Lord, what do I do? Yes or no? It sounds redundant. It sounds silly. It sounds too simple, but it's God. He says, let me handle all that. You just say yes or no. Just say yes and watch me do it. Did it make sense when they circled the walls of Jericho? No, it didn't. What is singing and all this kind of things going to do to some cement walls? If he told you to walk around your house now 7 times and just pray and watch, you're going to think the walls, he ain't talking about your physical wall, but if you circle your house 7 times and give praise to God, watch the walls of the demons fall. Watch how they can't do nothing in your house. Why? Because God is in control. You ought to sanctify your house. You ought to pray over your house. We used to have prayer meetings in our homes when we got a new home, what? That you would come and cover it. My brother's waiting on me right now. So you got to come to Grand Rapids. We are our new, you need to come bless my house. I need to come. You need to come. You need to come. Oh, COVID. Oh, COVID. Oh, COVID. Lord, I say when. And when Lord say go, I'm gone. Because it's all about God. Then he said we had to understand it when we looked at verses 14 and 15. He says, I won't complain. no grumbling or disputings. The Bible actually says what? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? That you may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I need a testimony. How many of you can say you have not been murmuring or disputing? Come on, I just need one, y'all. All I need is one. Can I get one? Can I get a half of one? If I can't get a half, let's back up. Can I get that? That's your desire, but you fall.
Okay, there you go. I'm with
it's
you.
A desire.
Okay, okay, hallelujah. That's victory, y'all. That's victory. I'm glad you said, because that is victory today. Because if it's the desire of your heart, that means the start is there. And if the start is there, God will finish the rest. So all we got to do is learn how do we get to let God finish the rest. So I said, I won't complain, I won't murmur, I won't grumble. Well, let's talk about what it is, because I think today you're going to see a little different understanding and how this thing works. Murmuring, the gugusmos, it says what? A half-suppressed or muttered complaint. You know what I always found interesting about murmuring? Folks don't do it out loud. When we get to murmuring, people get to murmuring, it's sort of quiet in our little circle. They won't stand. It says complain or grumble. It says an insinuation. Uh-oh. Has anybody this past week heard an insinuation that was directed towards you or somebody you know? Hallelujah. Did anybody here make an insinuation about somebody? It's okay. God's not going to hurt you. It's not what he's doing. He wants to bring it to light. Then it says a subdued or private expression of discontent. Okay. Let me ask this question. How many of you have a right to complain? How many of you believe that? I got a right to voice my. Okay, so in case those that word doesn't hit, let me give you some synonyms. Did anybody whine this week? Anybody have a beef with somebody? Then you did the above. Anybody got a gripe against somebody? Anybody fuss? Anybody do a bellyache? Oh, no, but did anybody whimper around? I confess I did. I whimpered this week. I was whimpering on yesterday, and God had to bring me into submission to his will. I was whimpering and complaining about some things that were going on that I shouldn't. He said, I done told you to leave that thing alone. I done told you I got it. But there I was whimpering like a little puffed up dog that needed his butt spanked because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. But see, we get caught up in these things when we see things. And they don't line up with what we want to see. So the murmuring takes place. Y'all don't have to say it. We have lived in such a society of murmuring here of late in this political arena and all this stuff. It's been crazy. Every time we see the news, oh, here we go again. Every time we see something, there we go again. They said this, they said that, I said this, I said that. We live in it constantly. Don't let me start talking about your children because I can't do that. I can only talk about mine. How do we always, here we go again. So the murmuring, and he's telling us that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Then the disputing. And this one I want you to understand, disputing, the diagnosis. It said discussion that is internal by implication, yet external by debate. Most people think of disputing as with somebody else. It's not the with somebody else that's the problem. It's the internal disputing. And you know, the word said, what, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what, spiritual wickedness and I play. It starts in our mind. We debate, we dispute, we doubt. Imagination, reasoning, thought, all these what ifs, all these things that you are not. When somebody say you ugly, I was told I was ugly all coming up. I started believing that. Every time I meet somebody, they ain't gonna like me because I'm ugly. Start wrestling with it in my mind. You know, that's where it starts. You know, it's kept from knowledge or from view. When we don't know better, we can't do better. These disputes, they happen When we talk to somebody, they happen in our dreams, they happen in our households, they happen on our jobs. Most of the time, they happen when we're all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. The enemy attacks you most in disputing internally when you're isolated. Y'all know how most of us are isolated today, right? Well, I wish I could go outside. I wish I could take a trip. I wish I can go see my friend, my relative, yada, 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 and all the things. Have we ever started saying, I'm thankful, Lord, I got more time with you. I'm thankful I can worship in my house and nobody don't like it. I don't care. I'm thankful that I can read more. I'm thankful I can pray more. I'm thankful I can sing to the top of my lungs and I don't care who hears me because I can't sing, y'all. So that don't bother you. Y'all get voice. But I sing around here. Ask Sister Roger, you know why? Because he's giving her an ear to hear or not hear. It don't matter. When I go to sing my praise and shout in my house, she just leaves me alone and I sing to all glory in heaven. And let me tell you, I ain't disputing what it sound like, because in my mind it sounds good and very good. So you don't have to. I'll sing it in the rooftop, I'll sing it in the rafter, because it sounds good to me to praise my God. So I understand that they have these disputings, right? Oh, y'all see what it says. What I like synonym: stealth, sneaking. Y'all understand what that's down there. Look at it. Scenes, clandestine, covert, all these things. So today we had one and two. Today, I want to give you victory. I want to just deal with victory today. How many say I got victory? Y'all know we sing next song. What, by the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free. He'll deliver and make complete. Guess what? Your victory is here today. Your victory is here. Point three today is that double down on Jesus. Why? Because you carry the light. You need to double down on Jesus. Why? Because you carry the light. Verse 16 says what? Holding forth the word of life that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have what? Not run in vain. He said, look, you hold this light. Well, Pastor, I get that, but what is the light going to do for me? What is it? What does it do? I'm holding it, but I don't know what I'm doing when I hold it. I'm holding it, but I don't see the results. You don't see the results because you're not remembering who you are. So because of that, today we're going to talk about 10 things. And I told you last week to do what? Read the chapter, first chapter of Ephesians. Did anybody read Ephesians 1 this week? Oh, and if you didn't, that's okay, because we're about to walk through it. Read Ephesians 1, because in Ephesians 1, you're going to double down and carry the light of Jesus because you're going to know who you are. How do I know? I'm getting ready to tell you that. I'm getting ready to show you that. What? You will overcome murmuring and disputings by what? Carrying the light and letting it flow through you in Ephesians 1. First thing, you are rescued by grace. Ooh, rescued by grace. Yeah, Ephesians 1 tells you, you are rescued by grace, not on your own. What? Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which were in Ephesus, and to what? The faithful in Christ Jesus. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you are rescued by his grace. And because you're rescued by his grace, you ain't got to murmur no more. You ain't got to say, I'm lost. You ain't got to say, I'll always be defeated. You ain't got to say, I'm a sinner no more. You ain't got to say that I'll never have a relationship. You ain't got to say, I'll never have a good job. Why? Because you've been rescued by the grace of God, which is based on the love of God, which is based on what? The light. Oh, that ain't the only thing. What is it? He tells you in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, what? That you got a new identity, right? I read what it said. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're the faithful in Christ Jesus. When you accept Jesus, you are in Christ Jesus. When you accept Jesus, you what? Have him in your life. You have surrendered that old thing, that body that is all wicked away. You're in here. You don't believe me? Go to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, it'll tell you what? That we are what? New creatures. Chapter 5. You know this. Most people know this. If you don't, go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what it says in verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man is what? In Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things what? Are passed away. You're not that thing that they said about you before you knew Christ. You're not that mistake that they said about you even though you knew Christ. You might stumble and fall, but it don't change who you are. You're still that new creature. And all things are of God who have what? Reconciled. Christ paid the price to reconcile, to bring us home, to root us in him. We are reconciled to him by what? Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not standing in judgment of the law, but reconciling them. How? Because he paid the price for the law. And if you drop down to verse 21, he said, now then, who you are, you got a new identity. You're not the back of the engine. You are an ambassador. Ambassadors go forward to the front. They don't sit in the back. Ambassadors stand up and say, yes, I'm willing to be counted. If you're an ambassador for the United States, you don't go anywhere and go, well, we just think we want to do this. No, you stand up for who you are. You are ambassador for the king. You are ambassador because you are there. You are not time out for doing this. I don't know. I think. No, you got the light in you. So stand up and be. That's your new identity, baby. That's your new identity, my brother. Stop letting somebody take you away from who you are. Corona ain't our identity. Fear is not our identity. Doubt is not our identity. Our identity is favor. Our identity is love. Our identity is power. I can go all through the word and tell you, go read about David. David said, surely the God that I serve will not allow this Philistine giant to defeat us. Why? Because he knew his God. Then David said again, surely his goodness and his mercy. Oh, I know he feeds me. I know he lay me by still waters. I know my cup runneth over. But he said, surely my goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the day. So every day that you got breath, every day you open your eyes, look in the mirror and say, I'm an ambassador. That's my new identity. That old thing goes away. That's not where it stops, y'all. There's a third thing. Say, you are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. It's in verse 3. So what? Giving no offense in anything, that what? The ministry be not blamed. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm still in the second. Let me go back to Ephesians, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm still sitting there. Let me go back to Ephesians. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. I just stayed right there. So what does Ephesians 3 say? The third verse say? Look at this. Look at this. This is some kind of good stuff. He said what? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have what? Blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ooh, you think you're not spiritual? You can't help but be spiritual. You know why? Because Christ is in you. And the minute you accept Jesus Christ, you are spiritual. I ain't talking about acting like you're holy and things. I'm talking about the Spirit of God that lives within you. So you are blessed beyond measure because of the Spirit that's on the inside of you. Oh, that's just a little bit of it, y'all. There's so much more. That's just a little bit. I don't think I'm going to finish today, but that's okay. I want you to fight this week. Number 4, God chose you. Ephesians 1 and 4, he chose you. According to what? As he had what? Chosen us in him before what? The formation of the world. Oh, somebody went to Jeremiah 29:9, didn't you? 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Somebody else, I got it on my tie today. Well, Psalm 138:8 said, what? Lord, what? He will fulfill his purpose for your love, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to fulfill your purpose for me because I've accepted you. You in me. I was chosen by you. And can't nobody stop me. Well, get in my way. I will step on you. Get in my way. Oh, matter of fact, I ain't going to step on you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to dust you off. And I'm going to tell you, now don't do that again because I have to put you down. But if you do it again, that's all right. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to dust you off. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to love you some more. You do it again, I'm going to knock you down, but then I'm gonna pick you up. Why? Because I'm an ambassador. I'm chosen by God, and can't none you do stand in my way.
All right, now
you don't have to believe me. Now you don't have to believe me, but it's in the word. It's in the word. Now here's something I want you to really understand. In the second part of Ephesians 1:4, God likes the real you. He likes the real you. He loves the real you. He says what? From the foundations of the world. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him. Holy and without blame before him. God wants you before him because he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he don't care what you've done. He don't care where you've been. He don't care how many times you stumbled and you've fallen. Why? Because he paid the price for that. God said, I've given you a new identity. And this new identity is based on the original identity that I had for you. So if you go back to the beginning, he said what? When he made man, he said what? It's good and very good. Not just good. Good and very good. And gave them what? Dominion over everything. So even though we walked away, God said, I'm restoring you to where he likes the real us. 1 Corinthians, somebody, if you hit 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, verses 11 there, he says, look, the next we're going to go 11, he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, because of that, we were, if you look at verse 9 and 10, we were before this verse, we were, we were deceivers. We were fornicators. We were idolaters. We were adulterers. We were effeminate. We were abusers of themselves. But man, we were thieves. We were covetous. We were drunkards. We were revelers. We were extortionists. We were. Don't talk about what you were. Who are you now? You are a child of the King. And in verse 11, he said what? By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. The songwriter sings it. Your Spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me. Your victory, your victory. That's what we're talking about here. That's the way we need to see this thing. We need to stop murmuring and disputing with ourselves and other people and stand on who we are. When you walk into a place and stand on who Christ is, if somebody else loves Christ, you will draw them to that place. If they're struggling, they're going to have to depart and come back another time when they're ready for the battle. But I don't care how many times they come back, they cannot win. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say they are. I don't care how much power they got. They cannot win. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in it. That's why Paul said to them, look, don't murmur. Don't dispute. You give your power away. Disobedience limits our power. That's a hard concept, y'all. That's a hard concept. That we have all the power that we need, and the only thing that stands in our way is our disobedience. Because when we're disobedient, we separate ourselves. Have y'all noticed how last week and this week? Last week was the first time I ever got disconnected from the call.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all realize that, right? And almost here, it was the first time. Why? Because God wanted his word to be heard and the enemy wanted to stop it. Did you hear today? Deacon Solomon froze through his prayer. I saw faces and they're like, uh-oh, here we go. Why are we going there? We praying in the Spirit. We don't have to hear his voice. In the Spirit, we agree with God and stay focused. Don't let the disputed and the murmurings of this other stuff get in the way. Technology don't stop us. God is the only one who keeps us going. So in the Spirit, when I pray, hey, glory to you, Jesus. But we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned of the world. If it don't follow a perfect path, we need to try and fix it. So that it operates like we're used to seeing in a worldly perspective. God has never operated that way. God has always operated by talking directly to us and getting our attention. Sunday school, he talked to Joseph. He ended up talking to Mary. In the through a path, he talked directly to the people through dreams. All dreams don't come from God. When they come from God, we learn what? You will be at what? Peace, because they will say, fear not. Ooh. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then the last thing today, just the last, and I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. The last thing today, he made us heirs. This year in Ephesians. We're going to finish this thing next week, I think. I think we'll finish it next week, but I'm going to speak it until God says stop. He said he made you heirs. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. He said, look at this. Having predestined us into what? The adoption of children. Predestined. This was a long time ago. He understood this by the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Not your will, not because you, but God's will. We give glory to God for everything. So to the praise of the glory of his grace, what, wherein he had made us what accepted in the what? Beloved. He made us acceptable. How? He covered us in his blood. He died for us. Before then, we were not worthy. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you. Nobody can ever tell me I'm not worthy. You want to murmur and say you ain't worthy? You all by yourself, because I immediately cut you off. Hey, but a matter of fact, I don't cut you off. I'm not listening, but I'm going to start praying for you now. I'm going to show you how you really worthy. If you accept Jesus, you can't tell me I'm not. I'm going to prove that you can be if you accept Christ. That we are worthy. And you can go to Romans, y'all. You know what Romans is going to tell us all. Paul told the truth in Romans to everybody, didn't he? He let them know. Romans 8:15. What does he say there? He said, look at this. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again. Uh-oh. Ooh, the spirit of murmuring, the spirit of disputing, that's all part of the spirit of fear and the spirit of bondage. But what? You have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. You've been brought into a family that you never had before. Oh, my mom and daddy, your mom and daddy, whoever they were, somebody taught you some good stuff. Grandma, whoever, somebody taught you some good stuff. But guess what? None of them taught you how you're going to be adopted to be an heir to the God who owns everything except through Christ. So when Christ died for us, he paid the price that the fulfillment of the prophecy would be on us. Oh, let me give you this vision. Thank you, Lord. When you walk around, when you look in the mirror, stop looking at what you see. Because when you look in the mirror, you look at your face or you look at who you are, your body shape, you always see something wrong. I don't care. Hey, they're doing this big thing now of stars and they're going, oh, well, we're going to see them in their natural state. Normally, when you see a movie star, somebody, they all made up. Well, look how beautiful they are. I'm like, they ain't no more beautiful than you. They put all that stuff on you like that. You look beautiful like you think you want to look. But they all made up. But now they're showing these pictures of how they look in the natural. Well, hallelujah, thank you to the Lamb. I don't have to see myself in the natural no more. I see myself as God sees me. And I'm marvelous. I'm wonderfully. I'm powerful. Yes, yes. I'm victorious. I don't see the defeat. I don't see my fall. I see the grace of God that's covered me. And when I look in the mirror, I am a warrior. When I look thank in the mirror, Lord. I'm an heir. When I look in the mirror, I got the ring on. So whatever I say, it's got to go. So when I say I look in the mirror, my name is Jesus. And because my name is Jesus and I speak in the name of Jesus, you got to bow. Because I speak in the name of Jesus, devil, you got to run. Because I speak in the name of Jesus, you can't make me think that I got to argue, I got to fuss, I got to fight, I ain't got to dispute what you cast, because I know who I am.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I know who I am.
Amen.
Look in the mirror and know who you are. You ain't got to bow down to nobody in your family. You ain't got to bow down to nobody on your job. You ain't got to bow down to your neighbors. You ain't got to bow down to what the doctor said. The doctor say you will never be well. The doctor say you will never walk. The doctor say you never. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and watch what God said. God said, I got you walking. I might put you in a different place because now because of what you've gone through, you're thankful for it all. I'm going to raise you up to go talk to who I got you to talk to. I'm going to raise you up to go where I told you to go. I'm going to raise you up and come. COVID gonna run. I'm gonna raise you up. Cancer gonna run. I'm gonna raise you up. Doubt's gonna run. I'm gonna raise you up. Fear's gonna run. I'm gonna raise you up and watch you see. Then you'll see Ezekiel. You don't know what that looks like. Go read Ezekiel. He said, can these dry bones live? That's all we're living among is dry bones. When they don't know the spirit of God, they are dry. But guess what will happen when they know the spirit of God? Watch them join the army. He said, can they live? Ezekiel said, I can't tell you, God, because you know, I ain't going down there. That's how we ought to be. We ought not cross that line because God already knows. You don't want to be wrong. Say, Lord, you know. He said, prophesy to him. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Prophesy to the man on the street. Prophesy to the coworker. Prophesy to your boss. Prophesy to the ones who report to you. Prophesy to your family. Prophesy to the enemy. Say, in the name of Jesus, you got to move. In the name of Jesus, surrender. Prophesy over your children when they're being disobedient. Hey, the rules are the rules, and that's what it stands. You got to prophesy over your life and watch what God will do. Double down. Destiny. I got a confession to make. And then we go in. In six years, everything's been howdy. Everything's been wonderful. This year has seen more stress with the board than ever before. This year has seen more stress in the way the church does and the way God wants us to. This year, like never before, we are not on the same page, not because we don't desire to be on God, but because of what the enemy is doing. And I've been saying, what is this thing? What is this thing? And I didn't recognize until God said, you need to stop. Then the rest will stop. I've been murmuring. I've been disputing in my spirit, not openly with nobody, but in my spirit. I've been going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that because I'm sick and tired because we ain't moving like you told me to do. And God said, well, when you stop claiming this other stuff, we'll start doing the stuff. Said, because when you look at it, you have been doing and you have been growing. Oh, you don't see numbers, but I see spiritual growth. You don't see doubt no more. You don't see fear no more. I see the positive. I see the abundance. I see the warrior spirit. Say, so stop murmuring and watch me move. But as long as you're going to murmur, you're going to be like the children of Israel. They spent 40 years walking around a mountain that they should have claimed in 4 days. Why? Because they were murmuring. Why? Because they were disputing. Why? Because they wouldn't go in and possess the land. Why? 10 say no and 2 say yes. God say yes, go. God say do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it follows certain protocol. I don't care. When I say do, you do. I come to tell you, look at what God is doing, Destiny. Look at what he's doing. I don't know how we got 100 families to be blessed, but somebody said, ask somebody and do something. He say yes. Does it make sense? No, it don't. But look at who's being blessed. Why? The light of God. I know we're in a territory that don't like us. I ain't worried about them liking me. You can hate my skin color, but you're going to love you some Jesus. Because why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to inhabit this land. So in the name of Jesus today, we're going to double down on Jesus. We're going to double down because guess what? Ain't no weapon formed against us.
That's right. Amen.
So watch the power of the Lord. We'll have a part 3, y'all, because there's some more things I need to show you here in Ephesians. Read the rest of Ephesians, y'all. This is the light. This is the light that you can overcome. This word tells us how awesome you are, how powerful you are, how wonderful you are. This week, just know that you are. Know that you are. You're an heir to the King. Know that. He has put his seal on you. I got to tell you, I don't want you to be like the prodigal son's brother. Prodigal son went and wasted all his life. The one son stayed home and did all the right things. When the other son said, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you and came home, the father rejoiced. Why? Because his son was now saved. But do you know what happened? Murmuring disputes. The oldest boy said, but daddy, wait a minute. I've been here. You ain't never threw a party for me. I've been here. You didn't give me the ring. I've been here. How many of you sitting in there? I've been here. I've been doing. I've been working. And how can they walk in and get the glory? The glory belongs to all of us. But if we start murmuring and disputing, we're going to lose. We murmur and dispute. We reject the power of God. I need to make this clear. Don't reject the power that God has placed in you. Because see, if God gives you power while you're murmuring and disputing, then his word would not be true. His word is true because of our submission to him that he has all power. God did it without murmuring. God did it without disputing. Jesus did not murmur. Jesus did not dispute. He stood on it. So why would he let you do the things that he did not do? That's not truth in his word. But he's given us the ability to stand. Stand up. You can look at somebody and the radiance of the light around you will change their whole atmosphere.
Yes, it will.
We shift the atmosphere. The atmosphere does not shift us. Time for the body of Christ to raise up. Rise up. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on. So let us pray.